I think it raises a really good question of what does apply if 19.357 doesn't. But what it talks about is that something that when the ordinance is passed does not conform. So if you're talking about the setback ordinance, did it not conform when the ordinance was passed? I mean, the answer to that is no. I mean, or it did conform. There as far as we know, there wasn't a structure there. If it did,
I don't know. They used to have for substandard lots. They used to have a different formula for figuring the side lots, front and the back. That was because you were dealing with lots that were 25 by lot. I'm not going to answer any questions from the critical.
That seems like it could be a crucial question because it's been presented that the exact same standards that are in place now were in place then.
It is a crucial question, and it's been... Is Nancy here? She's gone. And it's been one of my pet peeves. We need background information in our ordinance book so that when we're dealing with this, we can go back to that date and find out exactly what the procedures were then. I can't say whether these were correct or incorrect at this point because I don't know what changes were made.
We don't know whether a variance was granted back in 1985 or 86 when this house was built.
That would probably be in your file.
Yeah, that would be in your file.
We checked it.
There is one. Okay.
Sir, I presented the facts who showed that.
So,
but I guess my point would be that in order to figure out whether 19.356 applies, whether you have a non-conforming use, non-conforming situation as they define it, you pretty much need to know what the situation was when the ordinance was passed.
I did.
Which seems onerous, but it says it uses the effective date of the ordinance as the point in time that you're making the decision.
That's right. As to whether that would be non-conforming. But when you're making an addition, and if this thing is in here now with the 65, that you couldn't go ahead because you're creating a non-conforming condition. You can't call the other one non-conforming when you don't know what the situation was back then. But even if it were conforming, by making an addition or a rehab now, you're taking it and you're putting it into a non-conforming condition if you fail to pay attention to that 65%.
Yeah, that's correct or incorrect? Thing. I guess I'm trying to keep this part simple. It's just that if it doesn't meet the 19.356, which is non-conforming situation, then you don't get into 357, which is continuance of non-conforming situation.
Well, I think it does fit, it's non-conforming. I mean, it doesn't have the minimum lot size. It doesn't have the setbacks are not being met. I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious. It's not going to be met in today's scenario. So it may have been grandfathered in 1985, but at this point in time, it's still not conforming. And so 357 applies.
I guess I was you all had mentioned my response was that I don't know. I'd say when the ordinance was passed, if the setback ordinance was passed and it complied, and then the structure came later and didn't comply, I'd say my opinion would be it doesn't meet 356 and then it doesn't trigger 357.
That's very similar to the point I was making.
Okay, well, explain that one to me again, because I'm...
Well, the point that we're making here is that if it's an illegal structure up front, then you can't continue the illegal structure, and you have to correct. If it wasn't, if that's why we have to go back to 86 and find out, because if it was a legal structure, that it's a standard non-conforming situation, but if it's an illegal structure, then you're in a situation where, I think the words they used, and the violation have no right to continue.
As the ordinance stands now, it has been changed, which would reflect on this property today as being non-conforming, regardless of whether it was non-conforming back then or not. So because it is non-conforming now with the way the ordinance is written, you have to apply this.
And we also have an ordinance in place that was passed here a year ago that's saying previous decisions by council, board, building inspectors shall not be held as a prerequisite to,
yeah, I,
and to what we take into account.
I understand. And we have a contrary opinion that says that there is a contrary legal argument to that, but I'm not sure we can address that.
I guess if you took a hypothetical, and I think the key is that if the setbacks that are in place now, say for instance they were implemented, this is total hypothetical, but if they were implemented in 1983, and they were exactly the same as they are today, so then we look at 19356 and it says, the situation occurs on the effective date of the ordinance from which the section was derived or any amendment, an existing water structure does not conform. Okay, so in 1983, we have no reason to think that this lot or structure did not conform. This structure hadn't even been built yet. So if that's the definition they're using for a non-conforming situation that gets you over to the next one, you know, it would appear to me it does not meet that. Now, it seems to me that it's a little unclear whether that's the case. And then Mr. Allen mentioned there may have been different standards at that time for non-conforming lots. And you may need to know that, to know on that argument which way you come out.
The only reason I suggested that is because the implication was that at some time in the past, someone had okayed something when it shouldn't have been done. We cannot address that. All we can address is what we have in front of us. What we have in front of us, this property today, is non-conforming. So because it is non-conforming, this particular aspect, as far as permitting is concerned, the 65% permeability requirement, it's there. That doesn't change anything, regardless of whether it happened to be correct or not in 86. Today, it is not. Correct or incorrect?
As to 321 and 321.5, I mean, I think, you know, those don't really make any reference to the whole non-conforming issue. It's not my call. That seemed less pertinent, the yard and the impervious, because it is not changing. I mean, obviously, I think the question, you all recognized and raised it on the impervious situation, is that ordinance saying because of the remodeling that you're going to create 65%, or does it mean any remodeling on a property that's already 65%? And that's what you'd have to decide, you know. I can see the rationale either way. I can see the rationale being if you're creating the 65%, but that's y'all's call on that.
So you're saying if it's hypothetically 85, when you remodel, you have to reduce it to 65?
No.
Well,
the key question is are you prohibited only if the remodeling is what's creating the violation? Yeah, that's.
I think that's an additional violation.
Yeah, if they would be adding to it and creating excess of 65 is what Yes.
Apparently, we're allowed to talk, if we're allowed to provide, I'm okay not providing testimony, but here's Mr. Lindsay.
You're not allowed to speak.
Fair enough.
Sorry, you weren't sworn in, so anything, you're not allowed to speak.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, John.
If I may speak again?
Go ahead. We've allowed you to speak several times. We've allowed her to speak, we've allowed other people to speak. John just wants to speak one more time.
I want to point out two things.
We may not even take what he says into consideration.
Well, you probably won't. The ordinances, let me just start out at 19.3.1.5. Says no permit shall be issued if the total square footage of the buildings and impervious ground surface will exceed 65% of the lot. Okay, well, they're adding on to their property, but they're not adding on to the square footage, because so that really does not apply at that point in time. In addition to that, you come over here to a specific section, 19-357, that has a specific title that says continuance of a non-conforming situation. And if you'll notice the first part of that section of the ordinance, it says the lawful use of a structure, land or use of a structure, and land existing at the time of the passage of this ordinance was derived may be continued, although such does not conform with the provisions of this chapter, to include 321.5, provided they conform to the following provisions. I don't know how it could get any clearer than that. And in addition to that, the contractor for the property owner just came up behind me and said that the property owner wants to tear out all the concrete. And that was one of the original plans at the beginning of this remodel project. I will say that that is the first time I've heard that, so I don't know if it's actually going to happen. There you go.
Thank you, John. You've been in that kind of situation, I'm sure. Do you, in your life today, has anything like this ever warred its illegal?
There always is an interpretation for some of the building codes by the building official. And that's just the way that you can never write the codes where it's going to apply to every individual and every municipality in every state. That's why the code officials are here to make those interpretations. And you have to respect the fact that they're making those interpretations, whether some might view them to be right or wrong. That's their interpretation of the code under that situation. So, have I been on both sides? Yes, I have. And so I can respect, you know, what John's doing and has done here in the research. But you can't go back 20-some years and say, well, what were they thinking? We don't know. We may never know. But we can only look at the facts we have here today, that the information that John had to issue the building permit was correct to issue the building permit. And then, I have some thoughts that, you know, what I would like to see, you know, some additional improvements with the property, such as they mentioned tearing up the concrete. I think that's, being on the Stormwater Committee, that's one of the things that had been, you know, stormwater runoffs, you know, very important with the town. So, yeah, I have a passion for seeing the pervious surface increase, and I support that.
Thank you. Lawyers, what are your thoughts?
I concur with Tony. I believe this to be a non-conforming
property, I believe, that they're improving the land, they're taking out the concrete, and that they should proceed with the building, it is within confines and setbacks of the property.
We haven't actually taken it though yet. Peter, I know you're deep in thought there.
Yeah, this is a very tough issue, and I've been hung up on this legal and illegal. But I think we can't know now whether it was legal or illegal, so we have to, unless we've got some evidence that it is actually illegal, then we have to proceed on the basis that the property is a non-conforming property and make a decision on whether it can be continued as a non-conforming property with a third story.
That basically is the issue now. Do you have anything else to add, John?
My position is, as long as it meets the requirement of 65% permeability, then the third story, if it stays within the confines of what it's supposed to be, as far as setback is concerned, over the portion of the building that's not non-conforming. The whole building is non-conforming, but the building over that portion now. In other words, that's not to say yay or nay, because I don't know what the square footage is.
We can't issue a conclusion that says the permit's okay if the permeability is met. We have to accept or deny what the building is.
I think procedurally that you would either need to rule on what you have or decide that you need more information and reconvene, frankly. I don't think there's a way to do a conditional permit, because you won't know what the outcome of that is. Who's going to make that decision?
Okay.
I thank you.
Excuse me.
We never had been faced with a situation like this, and I do think we need more information, John. We need some clarification, I believe, about the 65% impervious.
What kind of clarification do you need?
We would need something from the contractor saying that we are tearing up this, we are not replacing it, and you need to do whatever measurements need to be done to say, okay, it will not exceed 65%.
Okay.
And bring that back to the board. So, based on what we have, we're kind of at a standstill.
What about the second requirement, Derek? At the road, it says it can't be more than 24 feet wide. Do you want to ignore that part?
What can't be more than 24 feet wide?
Impervious surface of the street, the driveway. It's part of the code.
It's all hinging, it's all hinging back to the impervious surface. Okay? And that's where we're hanging, we're getting this hang on. I would.
Are you talking about the driveway?
Yes, sir. There's two parts to it. It says total impervious surface can't exceed 65%. And it says that if the driveway at the front yard can't exceed more than 24 feet wide.
In the same order, in the same code?
Just right after the sentence that says you can't exceed 65%.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I would like to get a rule. job before we go. Ask the attorney a question.
I just like to reiterate what I said just a minute ago one more time. If you read the very beginning, section 19.357, it explicitly says that when a property can't conform to the provisions of this code, chapter 19, here are the provisions that they must conform to. And it gives 11 different provisions. Section 19-3121.5, that's from the conforming properties. The entire chapter is for conforming properties. And they inserted certain ordinances that dealt specifically with non-conforming properties. And that's all I have to say.
Except that the other ordinances don't actually say that they're conforming properties. I mean, I agree with you, it implies that. It doesn't say that, so that's what's creating the challenge.
I don't think that presents a challenge at all, but that's my opinion, so it doesn't really matter. But
if we should continue this, how do we go about doing that?
I think you would just continue it to your next meeting, your next regularly scheduled meeting, with the goal being that you want to take more evidence on, you know, whatever points you feel like you need more evidence on to make an informed decision. It'd probably be a good idea to re-advertise it, but I'm not sure you have to, since anyone that would have come to this meeting the best day would know it's been continued to that.
Right.
In addition to that, we would have to schedule an additional court stenographer to be present for this meeting.
What do you guys think?
My opinion right now is that the building inspector has a reasonably decent idea where we're coming from. We can take a yay or nay on whether to issue the permit or not. And if it's a no, then he already has the information that I believe is of concern. And that can be addressed without coming back to the board at some point in the future. We're
I think I'm inclined to agree with that. If we can make the decision and if we say we're denied the permit, then there's an opportunity to come back. Them to come back to establish the permit on the right basis.
I don't even know that there's a need for him to come back. He knows what the concerns are as far as the 65% of space is concerned. And if that's corrected at some point in the future, unless someone has other objections, I don't know.
What about you guys? Have you formulated an opinion?
I have an opinion, but I do agree that we need to maximize that impervious surface, or to eliminate the runoff for that area any way possible. I don't know what percent that would be or what would have to be done, but that would be a recommendation, conditional.
I don't know if we can do it conditionally. I don't think we can. We either have to vote to say yes, we agree with John, or no, we don't agree with John, issue the permit, and go from there. But that's what we have to do.
Can I have an information?
You have enough information. Okay. Peter?
Yeah.
Okay. So you vote.
The
based on the testimony and our discussion, I would like to, and finding facts that this is a non-conforming structure, that we find the ordinance allows for the building of this third story, because it does, the third story will meet the setback. And there is a question as to the 65% impervious surface, whether or not that has been exceeded. And there is no testimony as to that it has not been exceeded or it has been exceeded. I'd like to take a vote on number one. Those people, do we need to put this in the form of a motion?
We need to do your findings of fact.
Pardon me?
Findings of fact.
I thought I just stated those. That we found that this property is impervious. I mean, is not conforming. And that the third floor extension will conform to the setbacks as required by 19-357. And therefore can be continued in a non-conforming situation. However, we also feel that because of the concrete or other structures around the property, that it may exceed, somebody give me a hand with this, 19.321.5, that says, no permit shall be issued if the total square footage of the building and impervious ground covering surface will exceed 65% of the lot. Except B1 district stuff. They're accepted. They're excluded. In finding of those facts, I would like to make a motion that we how we have to vote now.
Individual vote.
That we issue an order, make a motion, that we issue an order, and I want an individual vote on this, upholding the decision of the building inspector, allowing the third floor addition to the existing dwelling. Now this is upholding the decision. What say you, Charles?
No.
Peter?
Yes.
I vote no.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we got three yeses and two noes. So the motion does not carry. And
it's not correct either.
What needs to be done now?
He's four-fifths overturn.
It's four-fifths overturn.
So the motion is to uphold.
The motion is to uphold the decision of the building inspector, allowing the third floor addition to the existing dwelling. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, no. All right. At this point in time, that is our decision. The decision of the board is basically to uphold his decision to allow the building permit.
Was the final motion three?
Three to two.
Three to two.
Four-fifths to reverse.
Takes four-fifths to reverse his decision. And we didn't make it. So, the permit stands. Now, sir, you have any appeal from the decision of the Board of Adjustments must be filed by the clerk of the Superior Court in the New Hampshire County Courthouse within 30 days of the date of this decision, which will be filed by the town clerk. have a motion to adjourn this hearing?
Yes.
Second?
Second.
Hearing is closed.
So we have other stuff we need to do?
We do have some other things to take care of.
Yes, it's on your agenda.
We do have some other administrative stuff. Let's take a couple minute break.
Let's do it tonight.
Let's do it today.
I think it's
Real interesting.
Perfect.
motion to overturning, and it would have failed, presumably, and then he could have done the exact same motion.
Well, he took it and voted not to uphold it, so he wouldn't have a...
Well, I just voted to uphold it.
I've loved it.
Twice.
We've got a couple things to do, we'll be out of here.
Yeah, three people voted for it.
You're showing me Andrew where it says three is okay.
And if it was requiring a supermajority for anything other than overturning it, it would, make it say, all this step, majority.
Yeah, he can do it next week.
That's true. We can go to Superior Court, and the judge can say you have to come back and do a motion to overturn.
Sorry, I'll redo the motion, and it'll be the same way. And he's just had to spend money in Superior Court.
And that's...
It could come out different, because 1-4 one way is different than 1-4 the other way.
Gotcha. Take it to court. No, it's semantics.
They'll reverse it back to us.
You totally disregarded the fact that defining yard dimensions of even space when they're required to be made, you totally disregarded
that. That was your argument. And it was something that we took into consideration.
It wasn't my argument.
It was something we took into consideration.
It's absolutely.
Sir, you may appeal this to Superior Court. Please do so. Please do so.
Annual report.
We got just a few administrative things to do. Was Charlie in it? No. He's smoking a cigarette.
He wasn't legal days.
No, he's smoking a cigarette.
What will happen now is that we'll get the findings of fact and the decision together. So as soon as I get that, we'll find all the new
That's what the board has to do. As chairman, you find it. Well, I think one of each of you is and that's what we came up with. Guess the facts are, you know, this was not. I don't think he was. He took this responsibility. Now, I think it's our opinion all.
Sure, I think they were just waiting on Mr. Charlie.
Yeah, can we find Charlie real quick?
I'm not going to go in the men's room. I'm only moved one to get him.
Hi.
Oh, here he is. Okay.
Come on, Charlie.
All right.
Are you ready, man?
I'm ready.
We need to recall the meeting back order. And we need to review the terms of the members. And my little hot hands here, my term will expire May of 2011. Charlie, your term also, May of 2011. Peter, yours will expire in January of 2011. Tony, yours will expire April of 2013. Dolores will be April of 2013. And Sandra's will be October of 2013. Any questions about that? We have a motion to accept this review of members' terms. Motion, Tony motions.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Motion carries. Now we need to go into the next phase, and that is to elect.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Those of you expiring this year, we need to know if you're going to reapply.
Okay. I will reapply. Charlie, what about you?
If they'll print these cut and paper pages so I can read them, yeah.
Okay. Conditional reapplication.
Conditional reapplication. How about you, Peter?
Yes, okay.
Okay, great. The next is the election of a chair and a vice chair. I would like to take the opportunity, since I have been doing this now for about 6 years, take the opportunity to pass the torch on to someone else. Do I have any nominations on the floor for a new chair? Well, in that case, I'll nominate Peter. We'll have a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Good. Peter? You get to be the hated one now. Election of vice chair. Anybody interested? You're too young. You don't want to have any more gray hair. Tony, how about you? You interested? You'll nominate Charlie? I'll second. All in favor say aye.
You going to nominate a dinosaur?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Charlie, you are our new vice chair. Approval of the annual report is our next one. In 2010, I was re-elected as chairman, and Ann Broski was elected as vice chair, and she took off and left us. Council approved the reappointment of myself for a three-year term until May of 2011, and the council approved the appointment of Tony and Dolores as regular members for a three-year term, and they accepted the resignation of John Gordon, who was with us for quite a while. Also, during 2010, we heard one case. It was an application for a variance to use the property at 213 North 4th Avenue regarding proposed enlargement of a front porch and its encroachment upon the setbacks in violation of 19-153. And we upheld John that day, too.
Is that
property up for sale?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. We denied the variance, and as far as I know, they didn't appeal. I think we're going to get one of those. But that's fine. That's fine. I will.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
Are they allowed to videotape the hearing without asking permission?
It's a public hearing.
Oh, I'm just curious.
Did they videotape it?
Yeah.
Were they?
Really?
Yeah.
Was it sitting back there?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I don't think the judge is going to listen to watch the videotape either, Mr. Spirit Court.
I was going to say,
if I'm correct, don't they just go over the basic transcript and make a ruling based on that?
Yeah, it depends on the judge, but I have personally had judges say I'm not listening to a tape. But if somebody said I have a videotape, the judge may be inclined to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's up to their discretion.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
But I imagine you all could also have a policy maybe about that, you know, that you at least need to get permission or something. I don't know. If it was a concern, you know.
Well, I'm not concerned. It's just that we don't know what the chain of custody of it is once they leave.
Right.
That's why I hope the judge would be going to deal with the transcripts. Okay. Do I have a motion to accept our annual report?
Yes.
Yes.
Dolores and Tony seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No. Good annual report. Do we really need to review the rules of procedure and any other administrative items, code of ordinances updates? Do we need to go to code of ordinance updates? I mean, we all got them.
I have two here that somebody didn't pick up.
Did someone not get their new updates?
When you got your packet for the meeting, did you also get this?
Oh, I didn't. No.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Anybody? I got mine. I already booked.
Yeah, this is much updated, saying these are the ones you need to.
Y'all got another one next month, too.
Oh, boy.
John?
I said 2011 is a new year,
man. John? Well, brush up on your rules and procedures there, sir. I would be more than happy to suggest you help.
Matthew, what's that? You have an electronic version of this? Is it still available?
Rules and procedure?
Rules and procedure. They're all basically the same.
But it's online. It's on the website.
Not on the website. It's on our. I can email it to you if you want. I mean, it should have been in your packet.
What should have been?
It's pretty much something that's been established and.
Yeah, this is. I probably. I can give him. I can give you mine from here.
Oh, that was in the packet.
Yeah, that was in your packet.
Rules and procedure from the.
We need a motion.
No, I just wanted an electronic.
Aren't the rules and procedures basically from the statutes?
No, they're your own
but the code
rules of procedure.
Oh, okay. Our rules.
The code of ordinances, is that online?
Yes.
Yeah, it was going to be. I didn't.
Do you not have one of these?
I have one of those here.
It is online. It's under.
It's under government.
Government.
Okay.
Go down the code and it'll take it. And you can search online, which is a nice.
Which is nice, yeah.
Now that we have done that.
So just put no changes to the rules
of procedure. No changes to the rules of procedure. No changes to the code of ordinances update. Do I have a motion to adjourn this meeting? Oh, this meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
Tony and Dolores. Tony said yes, Dolores said second. So.
They're all very active. Okay. Very active. You noticed that.
This meeting. It
is 11:40. Well, that gets the frozen surf.
John, when I run across that thing again, I will give you a call. Because I just about blew my top.
Well, that was word for word with the Island Gazette, right? That Ken on Beach was talking about doing 3 weeks ago.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
All right.
Good
night, all.
Good night.
Hey, John.
Well, I have a question.
Don't you go to
PNC
meeting?
For you.
Yes, sir.
And good night,
gentlemen.
Ladies.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Morris. Thank you for coming. Oh, I hope you get
to feel
better.
Me too. I'm sure a good drink tonight.
That's your job.
Okay.
Bye,
Dave. I
read that last night when I should have been watching the ball game.
Yeah. Did you read it or not?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you for your vote.
Big up, John. See you next time.
Thanks, Peter. All right. Have a good trip, darling.
We'll be back Friday.
Sounds good.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
You know what I was going to do.
You notice how I worded all that,
yeah, but you know what I was going to do. If y'all would have denied that permit, I would have revoked the permit yet tomorrow morning and wrote a new permit saying they can have it as long as they throw the concrete out.
And that's exactly the